Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We are back right here on the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. David Akers, former Eagles kicker, is going to be joining Mason today to talk Packers-Eagles. Looking forward to that. Also, of course, as you just heard, brand new show on The Fan. Check out three-time Emmy-nominated Rich Eisen Show today from 11 to 2.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
To right here on The Fan as well. But right now, we're going to be talking to the one and only Wes Hodkiewicz, senior writer for Packers.com. You can find him on social media at Wes Hod. Wes, my friend, how the heck are you doing?
I was doing better before that introduction, Andy, because you're like, hey, we got Mason Crosby, we got David Akers, Rich Eisen has a show now, and now we're going to turn it over to Wes Hodkiewicz. But no, otherwise I'm
you are
good.
Underselling yourself, my friend. You are the legend that is joining the show today, and we are excited to be talking to you.
No, I'm happy to be here, buddy. It's playoff week. I know last week was tough, but you know, it's always neat when the vibes switch over to the postseason play. It's something you never want to take for granted. So it's been fun getting ramped up here now to go to Philadelphia.
One of 14 teams that can technically still win the Super Bowl. They'll be one of 11 teams that can technically still win the Super Bowl when their game kicks off. And I don't take that for granted. And I'm going to be really looking forward to this game and seeing how they kind of respond to that most recent adversity. And I kind of want to start there because there's been this, you know, talk obviously from Matt and some of the questions from the media of, you know, momentum flushing these, you know, bad losses down and just kind of moving on to Philly. How, number one, are you a momentum believer? And then number two, either way, like, how does the team go about kind of getting that bad taste out of their mouth from the last couple weeks and just starting fresh with a 0-0 record and going into Philly?
Two excellent questions, Andy. First and foremost, as a pro wrestling fan yourself, you know that I don't believe in momentum. if you win like before the pay-per-view, you're probably losing on the pay-per-view, right? I mean, I think any pro wrestling fan would be able to tell you that. I actually said this too on our Packers Unscripted podcast, and I said I actually think the Packers, we'll talk about that in a second, but like the Vikings losing to the Lions, I think it'd be really hard for the Vikings to run the table and go, what would that have to be, like 13 straight wins to win a Super Bowl if they don't lose the Lions? Like,
yep.
I think sometimes there is a benefit in kind of having that hiccup. Last year, Kansas City, 11-6, they won 4 of their last 8 going into the playoffs, and then they got on their run. So a lot of times I think it's the lessons that you learn from that and how you kind of channel that towards something else is what is the biggest key to everything. For Green Bay, the only thing, Andy, that really truly sucked that I believed out of that game was the fact that you lost Christian Watson. And the fact that that is a game changer for this offense. And I think we saw at various intervals last year and then certainly this year just how much not having him on the field changes things, especially with the running back like Josh Jacobs, that if you're going to be playing with lighter boxes, he's really going to be able to dice you up there. The result last week, it is what it is. Josh Jacobs had, what, 6-7 carries. Jordan Love leaves the game. Obviously, the Packers, you know, you want to play better down the stretch. You want to complete that comeback. But the thing that Green Bay has to make sure they do now going against the Eagles is remembering the team that they were in Seattle, where you're going to be able to counter and you're going to be able to kind of impose your will on the opponent. That's what they have to get back to. They need a fast start. They need to be able to take that crowd out of it, and they need to play their brand of football and do that as clean as possible.
So funny. So many of the things that you just mentioned, I've been talking about this week. Number one, is exactly what you mentioned. How this team kind of needs to move on, and how sometimes those losses are important to experience before you get into the playoffs. So you kind of learn your flaws. I talked about this with Paul Bredel on the Packaday Show quite a bit for today, of just like sometimes you have to learn what those weaknesses are in the regular season. Now you have to learn from them. You have to make the adjustments. Right. You have to make the corrections. But the last thing you want is those things to get exposed in the playoffs, because teams will fine tooth comb it, and they will find your weaknesses and they will spam it like crazy. So the fact that, they got a little bit exposed these past couple weeks, and they can figure it out and actually have time to course correct prior to the playoffs and hopefully overcome that adversity, especially for, again, the youngest team in the league, second youngest team ever, only to last year's Packers in the last 45 years. To me, it's very important to be able to overcome that adversity and learn those lessons as a young team.
Well, and it's what Xavier McKinney kind of has been alluding to the last two games. I mean, after these losses in Minnesota and then against Chicago, and I kind of paraphrase it in our Insider Inbox column where, the lessons are over now. The course is done. All that's left now is the finals. It's what are you going to do with everything that happened the last 4 months to work yourself into a position to win a Super Bowl, to be able to make those corrections, as you said, to not, have the self-inflicted wounds, being able to play a complete game against an opponent that you're probably going to need your best against. I don't think Philadelphia, and certainly not Detroit, are teams that are going to hurt themselves. They're going to play consistently, and they're going to make you earn your yards and earn your points, as we saw last week against Minnesota, regardless of where the ball is at on the field. I mean, the way they shut them down in the red zone and kept them out of the end zone in goal-to-goal situations was really commendable. So for the Packers right now, it really all flows down to, can you make those corrections? Can you be the team that you feel you've been all season and do that for 60 minutes in one of the most hostile environments in the National Football League?
Yeah, I'm excited to see if they can pass that test. All right, you mentioned Christian Watson. Where do you start with trying to replace his not only production, but the gravity that he has on the field? You're obviously going to get, you would think Romeo Doubs back this week. It sounds like he was in the building on Monday, which is a good sign. But, how do you kind of go about attacking this Eagles team without one of your biggest playmakers?
Well, they can do it. They did it last year in Minnesota when Bo Melton emerged. You have guys that can run in the 4-3s. The difference with Christian, though, and you know this better than anybody, it is that gravitational pull of the secondary towards him. The respect that he commands, teams don't want to give up explosive plays in this league for obvious reasons. It's the quickest way to the end zone. It's the quickest way to losing. And Christian Watson, how he, the attention that he draws and the eyeballs that he draws from the coaches, from the players, from really a lot of people in the stands, it changes the complexion of a defense. So what Green Bay has to do is they have to be able to sort of find ways to create those explosive opportunities, whether it's Melton, whether, as we saw last week, Malik Heath making a heck of a catch, for 41 yards. They have the playmakers and the pass catchers to do it. It's about establishing it, I think, early, that Philadelphia and the number one ranked pass defense in the league has to respect it. There's so many
I'm right there
boxes
with you. And I think if they can, as you mentioned, get those defenders playing off a little bit, it's going to open up so much more for Josh Jacobs, which is going to be such a huge aspect of this game. Unfortunately, Christian, not the only injury that Green Bay is potentially dealing with going into this one. Zane Anderson was still in concussion protocol. Quay Walker's trying to work his way back from injury. Evan Williams is trying to work his way back from injury. And, of course, there's the Jordan Love and Malik Willis injuries that came out of last game as well. Assuming that Jordan's good to go and that we don't have to worry about that, fingers crossed. What would, other injuries, Quay Walker, Evan Williams, how important are those to maybe potentially getting some of those guys back for this game?
Well, and then the Evan Williams one is such a drastic domino effect on things, right? Like, this guy has been the perfect. I mean, I give credit to all these safeties. I give credit to Ketan Oladapo last week having to play his most extended playing time of his career. A guy that started, he didn't even practice throughout the offseason program, was on a scooter for most of the summer, and then he's thrown in that situation. But Evan Williams has been the one that has been sort of the best counter and the best complement to what they have in Xavier McKinney on the back end. It's been, you know, as a guy coming as a fourth round pick, as smart as he is, they've been able to be very free with how they use McKinney in those instances. Then you look at the situation where you're asking Javon Bullard to go from the slot back to the free safety spot, back to the slot. That's very difficult. I don't care if you're the first overall pick in a draft. That is tough to do right out of the gate year one on a team that has huge expectations. So I think getting Evan Williams back would be huge. Quay Walker was playing some of his best ball at the time that he got injured. Unfortunately, he goes down. So then you worry about, okay, what is the chemistry going to be like? Because I feel like Green Bay has stemmed the tide pretty well. You're very lucky to have a guy like Eric Wilson who can step in there as a guy that is not an every down player. And then suddenly he's the guy calling your defense, helping relay those calls on defense. But I'll be honest with you, Andy, I want to see Quay Walker and I want to see Edgerrin Cooper on the field together. Two guys that run 4.5 40s that can play sideline to sideline, and seeing the impact that Cooper has made right out of the gate and what should be an all rookie team type season. I feel like those are the big catalysts right now for the Packers defense, because they're going to need all those guys available to be able to contest with the weapons that the Eagles present.
If Evan Williams and Zane Anderson for some reason cannot go in this game, would you expect Javon Bullard back at safety and them to go with Keyshawn Slot, Stokes, and Valentine outside? Or do you think Ketan Oladapo gets the call again and it's Ketan and Xavier at safety and then Javon in the slot with Nixon and Valentine on the outside?
Yeah, that would be an unfortunate situation if you can't get either of those safeties back. But yeah, let's live in that world for a minute. I think I probably would follow a pretty similar prototype to what they did last week, which was... Yep. You know, Bullard is your safety and base. When you switch over to nickel, then you're going to make that transition and have Oladapo come in as the deep safety option. I really like Keyshawn Nixon outside, Andy. I look at him and I look at Carrington Valentine. That's been the Packers' best shot this year. And kind of like Valentine and Corey Ballantyne were the guys last year, the way that Nixon has stepped up, and I'm actually writing a story that's going up on our website this morning on Nixon. I mean, this is a guy that was an undrafted free agent, was brought in basically with special teams acumen, having a history with Rich Bisaccia. He ends up having the body type that he's very physical and can play the slot. But then you're seeing this year that, you know, he's a pretty fast guy as well. And being able to have that recovery speed has been really critical, I feel like, in some of those instances. So if it's me, I like Nixon and Valentine outside and doing some mixing and matching with those safeties. Safeties was their strongest position, right? It was their deepest position.
Yep.
We talked about all season. You want to lean into that depth now.
The Nixon thing is crazy. The first contract he got was 1 year vet minimum, zero signing bonus whatsoever.
Crazy.
Like they literally just got him for nothing and just a free flyer to take on the guy. And he's obviously been really good. And I'm with you. I think he's better at outside corner as well. We're being joined by Wes Hodkovitz, senior writer for Packers.com. You can find him on Twitter at Wes Hod. I want to go back to this offense for just a moment. Obviously, again, we kind of talked about Christian Watson not being out there is going to make this a little bit harder, but this passing offense in particular has not exactly been clicking the way that you would like it to going into the playoffs. What do they need to do just in general to kind of get back on track?
Back on track plays in rhythm throws. I just feel like that's one thing that has been sort of lacking here in the second half of the season, just finding ways to get guys going. Dontavian Wicks is catching the ball pretty well right now. He's put those drops behind him. But, you know, last week I think he averaged 9.5 yards a catch. Romeo Doubs, obviously, if I don't know what Romeo had. If he had the bug that I had like 3 weeks ago, God bless him. I understand exactly. Yep. Why he wasn't able to go in that game, that stuff that's going around right now. But, you know, Doubs obviously had some huge plays there. And historically, when the Packers have been at their best in the red zone, Romeo Doubs has had a big, you know, thing to do with that. The other aspect of it is, too, I'm trying to get a grasp on the jet sweeps and the motion stuff, because that has been something Green Bay has really hung its hat on for a while. Unfortunately, with a few exceptions in that Saints game, the second half of the year with the Jaden Reed stuff, it just hasn't really been as essential, as successful, as productive as it was, maybe going back to that opener in Brazil and seeing some of the concepts they were able to run with him. I feel like, I don't know what the answer is. I'm not obviously a coach, but finding ways to get Jaden going, whether it is rhythm throws, whether it is getting him the ball in the backfield, I don't know what it is, but I mean, this is obviously one of your top playmakers in any phase of the game, and finding an opportunity to allow him to be an explosive player again. I mean, if you go back to that game in Brazil, that's why Green Bay almost won it, right? He was the spark for them in that first half of that game. So I feel like when Jaden Reed goes, this offense goes, and finding a way to get him going is just going to be critical in this game and in any games to follow if the Packers are to make a run.
Yeah, the jet sweep thing is interesting. It almost feels, and I haven't seen anything, I can't confirm this by any means, it almost feels like there's some sort of tell that Green Bay has that they have a read on it, because to your point, it was so successful for them, especially earlier in the season, and now every time they run it, teams are just absolutely all over it. Even the one on fourth down where I don't know how you can get a beat that would be what they would do on a fourth and three in that situation. I think everyone was kind of stunned they ran that, yet again, I know they missed a block on it too, but the Bears were also all over it on that play. So yeah, they gotta kind of go back to the drawing board, but I'm with you. The bigger point there is they gotta get Jaden Reed in some sort of rhythm, and I also agree, I thought that was his best game maybe of his career. Also had that free touchdown that both teams had 12 men on the field that was called back. He was epic in that game. We talked a little bit about Keyshawn Nixon being this player that they just kind of found for basically free on the street. Different scenario a little bit with Brandon McManus, but that's another guy that Goody was able to find, bring in, and integrate into this team. And it's kind of gone under the radar because they unfortunately lost that game. But what a massive 55-yard potential game-winning field goal at the time he makes in that game. And he has been just out of this world, unbelievable, since picking him up. What kind of impact has he had on this team?
It's unquantifiable. It's just looking at, I don't want to be this dramatic about it, but I mean, the Packers potentially aren't in the playoffs if you don't have a Brandon McManus on this team, right? Yeah. Or having a guy that has been as efficient as he's been. I mean, to go from, they finished 18th in field goal percentage this year, Andy. Can you believe that? I mean, from where they were at in mid-October to be able to actually find their way to the middle of the pack, that's insane. The New York Jets never figured it out all season. Yep. And they were in the bottom of the league with Green Bay at the beginning of this, at the start of this thing. So for them to find a guy like McManus, and I understand, the things that, went around that for why he was on the market, but, this is a guy that has done it at an extremely high level. And when you're looking at guys that can make it, yes, you want Brandon Aubrey, you want to be able to, bang through these 60-yard field goals, and everybody gets on their feet, and the fantasy football owners love it. But at the end of the day, it's like, can you get me a 43-yard field goal when this game depends on it? And for him to go out there and smash that 55-yarder, I know he had to take a low trajectory on it with how cold it was that night, but to have that accuracy on it and be able to make that play right, and an instance where Green Bay absolutely needs that, because if you miss it, they're getting that ball with premium field position. And again, I think when you're looking at next year and what the moves that Green Bay needs to make, there's a lot of talented players on this team. They have some good upcoming free agents, but number 17 has to be at the top of the list. I mean, he has taken something that was an absolute headache for Green Bay and completely solved it.
Yeah, that's the one agent I'm on the phone call first with of all the free agents in Green Bay right now is making sure that you can get him signed back up. Again, Wes Hodd, senior writer, Packers.com. We're chatting with him right now. You can find him on Twitter at Wes Hodd. All right, Wes, before we get you out of here, Packers-Eagles, keys to the game. What are you watching for in this one?
You have to be better in the trenches. And I know that's really funny to say against a team that has a 2,000-yard rusher, but that's Green Bay's best shot in this thing. They have... I'm going to try to figure this out here when we get done talking, because I think I'm probably going to write on it this week. The last time Green Bay has had, this efficient of a running game mixed with a really strong run defense. I mean, the Packers gave up the third fewest yards per carry in the league this year. For them to be in that category after really struggling in that capacity for years, both their total yards allowed and also how many yards they're allowing per carry, this is going to be a supreme test. But that's also why I felt like Green Bay did sort of match up well with Philadelphia. And Jalen Hurts, I would imagine he's back for this one. I saw that stuff, I think, on Ian Book getting cut or whatever they did. So you would imagine that's also a good sign for him, for Hurts being back in the fold. Yeah. But either way, he's missed some time here. And I hope the best for him and his health and everything that goes in with those concussions. That's scary stuff. But you can't allow him to get comfortable early on, and the best way to do that is containing Saquon Barkley. They did it at times in New York last 2 years ago. They did it at times in that game against Philadelphia and Brazil, but then he broke the big one. He's the guy that throws the jabs and then finally looks for that opening where you're not expecting it and lands that knockout blow. The Packers can't allow that to happen in this thing. So fast start, controlling the run, and being successful against their run defense, I think, is going to be absolutely critical. Josh Jacobs said after the game, he felt fresh. He felt like he didn't have any wear and tear on him whatsoever after that really limited workload against the Bears. This is where you want to take advantage of that.
Per Zach Cruz, 2,000-yard rushers, there's been 8 of them. 7 of the 8 have never won a playoff game, and 5 of them lost in the wild card round. 2 of them didn't make the playoffs. Incredible. Terrell Davis in 1998 won the Super Bowl. So outside of that one, hopefully Green Bay can continue that, where a lot of these 2,000-yard rushers lose immediately in the wild card round. Wes, you're the absolute best. What do you got coming out on Packers.com this week, and where can we find all your great work?
Well, I kind of spoiled it a little bit there. I have a story today kind of looking at Keyshawn Nixon, his season, and again, I thought we were talking to Derek Ansley, the Packers passing game coordinator, last week, and he said, you know, it's unusual for him to be able to do what Nixon has done this year, where you're flipping inside and outside in the game, depending on injuries, depending. He's been the first domino that's fallen. And for a guy that I thought took some unnecessary and unwarranted heat from Packer fans, what he has given them, especially for the amount of money he's made here in 3 seasons, I don't want to put that Jared Bush label on him, but it's like those type of guys that are catalysts for being able to win games, win championships, and they aren't the flashiest. They aren't the type of guys that, you know, you look at them and say, okay, well, that's the cornerstone of the franchise, but they are essential. And I feel like we definitely need to put some respect on Keyshawn Nixon's name. I hopefully have done that, in addition to a bunch of other videos and podcasts and all the other stuff that we do on the website to add to the Packers stratosphere.
Looking forward to all that, especially that Keyshawn Nixon article. As I mentioned, Wes, you're the absolute best. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll definitely do it again soon. Enjoy your playoff game this weekend with Philadelphia. Should be a ton of fun. I know you'll be out there and covering it better than anyone. Again, follow him on Twitter at Wes Hodd. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. It's the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.